Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, please. Gospel of John, chapter 1. I want to preach this morning on some words from John the Baptist. All right, John the Baptist, the great forerunner of the Lord Jesus. He was the man who announced to the world, to the Jews, and to the world that the Son of God, the Lamb of God, had come. And so John chapter 1. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack right there in front of you. You may feel free to use one of those. All right, let's begin, please, in verse 29. Verse 29. And John tells us the next day, John, and this is John the Baptist, all right, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now let that sink into you for just a moment. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit. Notice that's capitalized. So that's the Holy Spirit. He says, I saw the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. All right, so John's point is, I baptize with water. I came preaching repentance and I baptize with water. But the one who comes after me is going to baptize with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And that is exactly what happens the moment you trust Christ as your personal Savior. You are baptized into the family of God. All right, so John was 100% on point when he said that about the Lord Jesus. And now look at verse 34. John says, And I saw and bear record that this man, this person, is the Son of God. The Son of God. Wow. All right, let's pray together, and then I want to speak this morning on Behold the Lamb of God. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for Johnny getting baptized this morning. What a blessing to see him being obedient to the Word of God and following you in believer's baptism. And Father, we thank you for now the Word of God, and I pray as we open your Word that you will bless it in a great way. Give us understanding of what we're about to hear, and may the Word of God draw us closer to you. Father, I do not know the spiritual condition of every person in this room, but Lord, I pray that you will speak to hearts. I pray that you will draw each one close to you. If there's someone here who is not 100% sure they're saved and on their way to heaven, I pray that today will be the day they realize that they need your Son, the Lord Jesus, to redeem, to save their souls. So, Father, fill me with your Spirit and help me as I speak, and I pray that the Word of God will produce fruit this morning. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. John the Baptist is called the forerunner of the Lord Jesus. And the reason he is called that is that was the ministry that God gave him to do. He was a preacher. He was He was an individual who had some distinct characteristics. He came out of the wilderness preaching and made no apologies to anybody for the messages that he brought. He would preach and just let the fur fly where it flew. I mean, he didn't care. He was on a mission and he knew God's call, and so he just went and did his job. And of course, it fired folks up, especially King Herod. You remember King Herod ended up arresting him, throwing him in prison, and then he lost his life due to King Herod's irate mistress. And so it was a man. He was a man who stood and was not ashamed to stand for the right cause. Now, I was reading just this week about Billy Sunday. I don't know, do you know who Billy Sunday was? He was an evangelist back at the beginning of the 1900s. And he was a character from what I have read about him. And he was in a town one time, and he just preached he would come in and stay 6-8 weeks for a revival meeting. All right, it was not one of these Sunday through Wednesday things that we do today. No, they would come in and stay until revival broke out. And he was preaching against everything that moved. And so he preached against liquor, and he preached against smoking, and he preached against cussing, and you name it. Boy, he was just going at it. Well, he upset the whole town. Everybody got upset at him. And so the pastors all got together who were sponsoring the meeting, and they sat him down. They said, "Now, Billy, you're going to have to soften up a little bit." And Billy said, "Oh, I don't know how to soften up." He said, I know how to tighten it down, but I don't know how to soften it." And one of them looked at him and said, "Well, Billy, you're just rubbing the cat the wrong way." And Billy said, "Well, then turn the cat around." That'll work, won't it? All right. And that's the way John was. All right. So the Lord Jesus came into the world. And when he came into the world, we are told here in verse 29 that the Lord Jesus came as the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God. So when the Lord Jesus came the first time, 2,000 years ago, he came as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. But when he comes again, he's not going to return to this earth as the Lamb. He is going to return to this world as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And we're going to see wrath and fire and judgment and vengeance and death and destruction in his hands because of the rejection that this world has given towards God's Son. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you plainly this morning that I would rather meet the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God than as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'd much rather meet Jesus as the Lamb of God. That just sounds better, doesn't it? A lamb. You know, you think of a lamb, peaceful, gentle, sweet. You know, you think of a lion, angry, just always angry, just always looking for something to eat. And I just would rather meet the Lord Jesus as the Lamb any day. I'd much rather contend with a lamb than contend with an angry lion. Now, John, you'll notice here, look carefully at verse 29 and look carefully at what John says. Behold, what's the next word? The. All right, exactly. Behold, the Lamb of God, not a Lamb of God. And that definite article is there to make a point, to make an emphasis. When John looked and saw the Lord Jesus, he exclaimed to everyone who was there that day that the Lord Jesus was not just a lamb, he was the lamb. He was God's lamb. He was not like all the others that had been lambs that had been born and had been the firstborn and without blemish and offered as a sacrifice for sin. No, Jesus was not a lamb. There had been multitudes of other lambs that were offered for sacrifice. But Jesus was not one of a lamb, as if to say that he is one among many. No, sir. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." You see, the Lord Jesus came as God's Lamb to take away the sin of the world. Jesus was the one and only Lamb of God. The blood of all those lambs ever since the Garden of Eden. You'll remember when Adam and Eve sinned against God. We are told that God sacrificed and made coats of skin for Adam and for Eve. Now, that coats of skin was a covering. It was a covering. The whole idea was that the blood of an animal covered, atoned, all right, made them at one, atone at one, and made them atoned before God. But one sacrifice was not enough, was it? No, they had to continually be offering those sacrifices, continually. If you go back and read when King Solomon He got the temple rebuilt and they had a dedication. There it is. They had a dedication service. All right. And you'll read there for two straight weeks. All they did was sacrifice lamb after lamb after lamb after lamb, and blood was everywhere. It was terrible. The smell, can you imagine the stink? But you know sin is terrible, isn't it? Oh, I'm sure it smelled good in the nostrils of God. You and I smell burning flesh, regardless of what kind of flesh it is, and we get nauseated. But when God smelled it, God said, "That's a good savor." Why? Because in God's eyes, sin was being atoned. All right? All those lambs, you just think about it. Since the Garden of Eden, there had been multitudes that had been slaughtered on altars, but in every single case, the blood of all those lambs merely covered sin. You say, "Well, Pastor, how could that be for us today?" It's not. It's not. Look at verse 29. "Behold the Lamb of God that," what's the next two words? "Taketh away." It doesn't say covers. No, it removes. It takes away our sins. Man, that's good news, isn't it? You know what that means? The moment back in October of 1970, when I walked down an aisle and got on my knees and the youth pastor of the church came and opened his Bible and led me to Christ, that very moment that I called upon the name of the Lord Jesus took my sin away. You say, "Well, where did he take it?" I don't care. I don't care where he took it. I just know I don't have to stand before God with it anymore. Amen. He took it away. He takes away the sin of the world. There's a passage of scripture that says that our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west. Amen. If you're standing right here in Westminster and you go west, yeah, you go west, you go all the way around the world, it doesn't make any difference, you're still going west. If you keep walking, you're still going west, right? If you stand right here and you go east, you just start walking. And you're going to go all the way around the world, and you're still, no matter if you get 1 mile away from Westminster, going to Westminster, you're still going east. You see that? Now, let's suppose that we all go to the North Pole. Bad decision. Bad decision. But let's go to the North Pole, all right? And so we're standing at the North Pole, and I say, okay, everybody, we're going south. Well, we take off south, and we go through Westminster and through Florida and through South America and down into Antarctic, and there eventually becomes a time when we're no longer going south. We're now going north. God did not say that your sins are separated as far as the north from the south. No, he said your sins are separated from you as far as the east is from the west. That's amazing, isn't it? And again, well where'd they go? Who cares? As long as they're gone, that's all I'm concerned about. I tell you where they are. They're, as the Bible says, down in the depths of the sea. I saw this thing on Discovery Channel, you know, the Evolution Channel, and it was James Cameron, the movie mogul, and he took one of those submersible things down into the Mariana Trench, which is supposed to be the lowest place on the planet. All right, so he's down there in the Mariana Trench, and I wanted to email him. I couldn't find an email address and say, did you see any sin down there? You know, that crossed my mind to do that. Because our sins are separated as far as the east is from the west and cast into the depths of the sea. Wow. That's what John announced to the world. You know what that means, folks? That means that we do not have to spend all of eternity in hell paying the wages that we owe for our sin. We don't have to spend eternity in that awful place paying the wages of sin. Now, I'm sure the people seeing the Lord Jesus making his way to John were all shaken to their core when John said these words, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, when Jesus came and died on that cross, that made it possible for our sin to be gone. Gone. Washed away in the blood of Christ. You see, when God looks at a believer right now, God does not see sin. God sees the blood. Remember the Passover lamb? When I pass over and I see the blood, then there was no judgment. And that's exactly the way it is with us today. God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And thank God he passes over all of us who know Christ as our Savior. Now, I want you to notice a couple of things here about the Lamb. First of all, I want you to notice the worth of the Lamb. The worth of the Lamb. I think it's interesting that John used the word behold. Behold. That's like putting a big flashing neon sign over the Lord Jesus' head. Behold, he turned everybody to look at Jesus. You know, that you stop and think about that. You know, in this world that we live in, it's very rare for somebody who has the attention to then shove the attention over on somebody else. But that's what John did. Because John knew he could not take away sin. But he knew that God sent himself in the form of his son, and that he was the Lamb of God who could take away our sin. The worth. And I think this shows us that John was waiting on the Lord Jesus to come. He knew his mission. He knew his role. He was looking for his opportunity to introduce the Lord Jesus to the people. Behold. I think it signifies importance. Importance. In other words, once John cried out, behold, that was a pretty good indication that something very, very important was about to be spoken. And sure enough, it was. It speaks of the worth of the Lamb. As I said a moment ago, throughout the millennia, there had been multiplied thousands of lambs. But this Lamb, the Lord Jesus, God's Lamb, was the one that this world needed more than any other. You need the Lamb, I need the Lamb. We all need the Lamb of God. You say, well, why do I need him? Because he takes away your sin, that's why. How do you put a price tag on that? You can't. And that's because John told everybody that this Lamb would take away sin and bring us and give us eternal life. Let me tell you something, folks. You might have a lot of specific needs in your life, but there is one need that all of us have, one need that all of us have in this world, and that one need is to get our sin taken care of by the Lamb. By the Lamb. There's no other that can do that. There's no other need that a man has other than the need for God's eternal salvation. Nothing is great. Nothing is as valuable. Nothing is as rich. Nothing is as substantial as your never dying soul's salvation. Nothing. And folks, this is the whole reason that the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, came into this world. He came to give us everlasting life. That's a pretty good deal. So how could anyone put a dollar amount on the Lord's worth? You can't. It's impossible to calculate his worth in human terms. The Lord Jesus said something like this. He said, if you were to get the whole world. Now, what's the whole world? Well, John said that the world is everything your eyes see, everything you want, all right? Everything you want, everything you see. It is every position that you could imagine. You're the top dog. You've got it all. You got the whole world. But then you die lost. And then in your death, you go right straight to a devil's hell. What good's all the world going to do you? What good is all the world going to do you? I told you about that outlaw funeral that I did out in Joliet, Illinois. And on the night of the viewing, Linda, the wife, stood by the casket and she said, please don't leave my side. Don't leave my side. And I said, all right, I'll stand right here. And so all these outlaws were coming in, and they every one of them that came in, and I'm talking about over 100 that came in, they all put something in his casket. And I, when it slowed down a little bit, I asked Linda, I said, why are they putting all this junk in the casket? And she said, well, they think that he can use them in the next world. And I said, that's ridiculous. And she goes, yeah, it is ridiculous. And she said, don't worry, I'm removing it all before, I'm having it removed before we bury him. And I said, well, praise the Lord. You can't take anything with you. All right? You can have the whole world. You can't take it with you. I've told you about when they uncovered King Tut's tomb. They found all kinds of stuff in his tomb. They found bags of seed for him to use to grow food in the afterlife. They found the skeleton of two massive horses. All right? Now, they'd been in there for about 3,000 years. The horses were gone. The bones were there, and they found all the bones. They found a wagon. And the instructions drawn out on how to put that wagon together. How about that? I mean, everything that a person would need, they put it in that tomb. And you know, 3,000 years later, when they came and discovered the tomb, it was all still there. You know why? Because you can't use it in the afterlife. You say, well, Pastor, how's a person get ready for eternity? Behold the Lamb of God. That's how you get ready. Jesus said you must be born again. And the reason that you must be born again is because you must be born again. You just must be. There's no other alternative. Turn over in your Bible for just a moment. Hold your place here, but go over to the book of the Revelation, chapter 5, for just a moment. Revelation chapter 5. All right, so this is all the saints of God, and we're all around the throne. The rapture has happened in chapter 4, and in chapter 5, we are all around the throne of God, rejoicing in the Lord Jesus. Now look, please, if you will, at verse 9. It says, and they, who's they? Us, the redeemed, all the saved that are in heaven with the Lord. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art, what's the next word? Worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, not the blood of a sacrifice, not the blood of a lamb, no, but by thy blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. You say, well, how much is that, Pastor? That's a lot. All right? That's a lot, man. And what are they saying? Saying with verse 12, watch this now, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Wow. Wow, that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? You see, no one is worthy as worthy as is the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole idea here is they looked around for somebody who was worthy to open that scroll that was in heaven. That scroll was the title deed to the earth, and they couldn't find anybody. There was not an angel worthy. There was not a believer worthy. There was not a man worthy or a woman worthy. No, they looked around everywhere. And John started to cry. John said, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? There's nobody worthy. And suddenly it was announced, oh, there's one who is worthy. And that one is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So what's that mean for us? Well, that means that the Lord Jesus is the only way for any of us to get to heaven. Folks, you say, I'm going to trust the church. Well, I want you to know, no church is worthy. You say, well, I'm going to trust my baptism. No baptism is worthy. No, sir, not at all. You and I have already been taken up to heaven in this fifth chapter. We're all standing there, the redeemed. And there's that book. Who's worthy to open it? The Lord Jesus is. The Lord Jesus is. How do you put a price tag on that, folks? How do you put a price tag on that? Second thing I want you to notice is the work of the Lamb. John said, behold the Lamb. John explains to us that there was a work that the Lamb of God came to do. And his primary work, look at verse 29 again, his primary work is this, to take away the sin of the world. Wow. Take away the sin of the world. There is no doubt the Lord Jesus was a great teacher, that he was a prophet, that he was a healer, that he was a preacher, that he was a great example to everyone. But none of these things was the main reason for which he came into this world. His purpose for coming was to go to the cross of Calvary and to be on that cross suffering while God Almighty took your sin and my sin and the sins of the whole world and placed that sin upon Jesus and said, here, son, you pay for old Ray Schutt's sin. Man, that's a heap of sin. All right? Here, Lord, you pay for Pastor Howe's sins. All of them. You know, that might have been enough for the Lord to say, whoa, that's enough. But no. You see, God even took all of yours. You know, Paul said he was the chief of sinners. That was before Pastor Ray came along. All right? See the point? Folks, he died for all of us. Man, that's his work. That's what he came to do. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other name. You got to come through Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. In John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So thank God, the work of the Lamb was to redeem our souls, to be our Savior. For God so loved the world. And folks, listen, God is able to save anybody. Isn't that awesome? He can save anybody. You say, well, how do you know that? Saved him, didn't he? Saved him. Oh, wait a minute. Saved him too. And get ready. He saved Ron Reed. How about that? Yeah, if he can save these people, he can certainly save you. That's our God. That's our Savior. It's Christ and Christ alone. Then lastly, I want you to notice the wanting of the Lamb. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? Well, you see, the Jews, they didn't want a lamb. They wanted a lion. You remember they were being held captive. They had been for over 600 years. The Babylonians came and took over. And then the Medes and the Persians came and took over. And then Greece came and took over. And then the Romans came and took over. Oh, it had been a mess. Everything was a mess. And they didn't want a lamb. They didn't understand when John said, behold, the Lamb of God. They didn't want a lamb. They wanted a lion. You say, why'd they want a lion? They wanted out from under the Roman yoke. They did not know for sure when their Messiah was coming, but they did not see the Messiah coming to die. They saw the Messiah coming to reign, to rule. And so for sure, being under foreign control, the Jews were choking under Roman oppression. And they wanted out. You remember that in Acts 1, the disciples looked at Jesus as they were going up the Mount of Olives for him to ascend to the Father. And as they were going up the Mount of Olives, the disciples said, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Lord, now? You going to do it now? And Jesus looked at him and said, guys, you still don't get it. You still don't get it. It is not for you to know the times nor the seasons. It's not time to rule and reign. Right now, it's time to get folks saved. And I'm going to fill you with the Spirit to enable you and help you to get folks saved. And that's where we've been for the last 2,000 years. It's no wonder that the devil has done all he's done to destroy the church. No wonder. Are you still in Revelation 5? Say yes. Okay, good. Good. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, and one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. So here the elder looks at John and says, John, don't cry. Don't weep. Don't weep, John. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Thank God. The day is coming when the Lord Jesus is going to come back to this world, and he's going to open the book and break the seals, and then that judgment for rejecting the truth is going to begin. Folks, we don't need the lion right now. We need the lamb. We need the lamb. There's plenty of time. The lion's going to come in his own time. But right now, we all need the lamb. I had a roommate in college, and I'll close with this. And he was from a, he had, his family was from a, a farm out in the north somewhere, northwest. And then at this farm, they raised sheep. And they raised them for food. And he said to me back years ago, he said, when I was a kid, he said, I'd help out around the farm. And he said, you can't help sometimes but to get attached to a certain lamb. And my dad always told me, don't ever get attached. Don't ever get attached. We're not in the business of raising sheep for pets. So don't ever get attached. He said, I learned my lesson the hard way. He said, I found out one morning that it was my lamb's turn to be slaughtered. And he said, when I found that out, I went out and I grabbed that lamb and I sat down and held that little lamb in my arms and wept, knowing that in just a couple of hours, this little lamb was going to be gone. He said, I held that lamb. And my dad came out and said, son, it's time. Take the lamb inside. And so he got up crying, he said, walked that little lamb into the processing room, and very gently reached over and handed it to the executioner. And he said that when he handed it to the man who was going to take its life, that little lamb looked over at him and he said, and he even licked my hand. Wow. The last thing that little lamb did was he licked my hand. And he said, years later, I'm reading the Bible, and I see where Jesus is God's lamb. Jesus is, how much was God's heart broken when he had to give his own lamb to die for us? But thank God he did. Behold the Lamb of God. What's so important about that? That takes away the sin of the world. That's the most important thing in the world. Let's bow our heads, please. You know, folks, we live in a world where people want position and prestige and possessions, but not purity. Strange, isn't it? We live in a world where people want earthly power, but they don't want spiritual power. I think spiritual power is more important than physical power any day, don't you? Men today, just like in Christ's day, have their priorities backwards. By wanting power over others, men reject the Lamb, which takes away their sin. We got everything backwards in our world. My friend, I want you to consider your own soul, your own eternity. Would you think about that for just a moment? I want to ask you a personal question. I want you to be as honest with me as you can be. How many of you will say, Pastor, I'm saved. I know it. There's no doubt about it. If I died right now, I'm going to heaven. I know that I'm saved. Would you raise your hand and testify that you know for sure you're saved and on your way to heaven? You say, Preacher, I know it. I know it. There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Thank you so much. You may put your hands down. Well, thank the Lord for that. That's a wonderful testimony. A lot of folks know Christ as their Savior. Wonderful testimony. Let me ask this. Maybe you could not raise your hand with everybody else. You say, Pastor, I'm just not 100% sure. I know I need to know that I'm saved. I need to know Christ. I know I need to. But I just don't know for sure. So, Pastor, would you pray for me? And listen, I will pray for you. I won't embarrass you. I would never do anything like that. Never. But I will pray for you. You say, Pastor, I'm just not 100% sure. Please pray for me. Would you lift your hand and hold it up where I can see it so I can ask the Lord to help you this morning? Would you lift your hand? Anybody like that? Anybody? Yes, God bless you. Thank you. Good. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and your grace. And thank you, Father, for sending your Son as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The Lord Jesus came meek and lowly. He came to die, not to reign. And when he was on that cross, he paid our sin penalty. The wages of sin is death. There on the cross, the Son of God died so that we could have eternal life. Now, Father, it's just as simple as believing upon the Lord. And so, Father, help us this morning to search our souls. I pray for these who raised their hand. They said, I'm not 100% sure. Well, Father, I pray that today will be the day they get this settled. And that, Father, you'll do a real work in their hearts. So bless now, we pray, in Christ's name, amen.